Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls in addition to more of the stories that we're talking with Angelia about. Angelia Scheer, she's talking about these UFO cases. We'll be back in a moment with more and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Angelia with us here. Angelia, I'll let you finish up that story that you were talking about, which was the basis for the cover of your book.
So, George, again, you know, we knew this was in the past, but we sent the crew over there. We got set up, went around the farm, and there's some pieces of equipment that I really like to use. And, George, I love my team. I have a really great professional team. I have federal investigators.
Oh, that sure helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, anyway, as I'm interviewing people, Josh, one of my co-investigators, he has two pieces of equipment. We have a field meter that just, of course, measures magnetic field strength, you know, get a reading on that. And then I have another little piece of equipment. I call it my bug detector. And it picks up frequencies in the three major cellular bandwidths. And what we're trying to do there, George, is cover as much of the electromagnetic spectrum as we can. Again, the field strength meter set is not a ghost indicator. All it indicates are changes in the magnetic field. And all of its researchers have found that when we have some of those magnetic changes, sometimes that's an indicator of, you know, precursors to these paranormal events. So anyway, while I'm investigating, I notice Josh has prepared the bug detector. We only use that inside of a house. We sweep interiors, you know, to see if the house been bugged. And he just calibrated that instrument, put it in his pocket, and he's just using the field meter outside. Well, he comes up to a tree that's in the backyard of this house, and the bug detector goes off in his pocket. And he thought, what? So he recalibrates, goes near the tree again, and the bug detector goes off. So he calls me over, and he said, I've never seen anything like this. I hadn't seen anything like it. George, long story short, we found three trees triangulating the house that at about 4.5 feet up in a small area, this bug detector would go off. It was the tree was emitting a cellular frequency.
That's fantastic.
I studied trees for 6 months after that. You know, they actually do emit a frequency, but not, at, you know, in the spring, certain times of the year, but not in the cellular bandwidth. So that was the first clue. So as I'm talking to my witness, he also reports to me, he said, you know, I forgot to tell you this, since I was a child, I've had reoccurring nosebleeds in the right side of my nose, which is a very common, as you know, issue with, you know, people that have had these experiences. So the day wears on, we send the drones up, they had seen some anomalous lights around the property, different colors, and so we were, you know, checking that out, recording everything that we could. And so, of course, night is falling now. We've been there, you know, for hours and hours, and I was inside speaking to other family members. We were actually packing up to leave and thanking them for letting us tramp on, you know, tramp around on their property all day, taking measurements and talking to people and other witnesses. And Josh comes running in, and this is why a team is so important. He said, Ange, come out. I want to try something. I have an idea. And I said, well, great. And George, this is where, you know, a good team, as you know, we all work together because we're out on the edge. You know, we're explorers. There's
sure.
No guidebook for us. You know, we're just trying the best we can to recreate or find common denominators, you know, of when these events happen. So he had this idea that he wanted to take this bug detector that had gone off around these trees and actually use it on the witness, which we would never do that. I mean, the body does not emit cellular bandwidth frequencies. You know, that was used as a bug detector. So you have to imagine it's about probably 11:30 at this point. We're outside standing in the driveway. There's a security light, this is important, right above our head. And so we have kind of a group, you know, sometimes people want to come and watch our investigations and they, you know, we'd allow a little group to come up there. And so anyway, the witness says, yeah, let's try it. So we take the instrument, the little bug detector, we calibrate it, and we test it on all of us. Nothing happens. We put it up to this witness's nose, George, and the whole thing goes off.
Jeez.
Full blast. George, we did it three times, and on the third time, this witness's nose started pouring blood. His nose bled so bad, we had to stop the investigation. We had to run and get towels, and I have it on video.
He could have hemorrhaged.
Well, it wasn't that bad, but it was significant. It was like this instrument actually activated something, and his nose started pouring blood. So, and this is where the paranormal components come in again. At the moment his nose started pouring blood, that security light above our head went completely out. And the last thing you hear my witness say is, well, I guess we've stirred up a hornet's nest. So, I mean, driving, you talking about spooky nights, driving home that night, we had probably 4 or 5 hour drive home. We were all pretty quiet. That was one of the strangest things we'd ever experienced in the field, and no one will ever convince me that was by chance.
What do you think the significance is, Angelia, of the fact that we're being visited, have been visited? What's really, you know, pushing us to find out?
Well, I have to back up real quick. When I was in my mid-20s, I think I've kind of indicated, especially all throughout my book, that I've researched differently than most people. Of course, I'm the scientific method. I use every instrument at my disposal. But this event, George, that I'm going to describe to you changed the way that I did all my research. I had a group of people on a beach, about 14 people, having a little beach party at 10:30 at night years ago. And at one point, four of the individuals started seeing this UFO out over the water. It was probably 2 or 3 football fields out, just to give people a nice visual. It was a couple of thousand feet up and, you know, very close range sighting. And all these four individuals described this ship exactly the same shape, the same color, the same, they kind of even heard a low hum. And George, what was extraordinary is the other 10 people could not see it. No matter what they did, no matter
really?
What point, they could not see
why?
It. And, well, this is what changed my research. This is why not only have I studied over 38 years now the phenomena, I've studied my witnesses. I'm an ex-cardiac nurse, and, you know, a lot of my professional friends said, oh, Ange, this is probably some kind of common delusion. And I said, you know what, Bull, I'm not buying that. I said, people don't have the same hallucinations, and they don't have the same delusions. And even if you're drunk or on drugs, you don't have the same hallucinations. So I was convinced, George, that those four people had some kind of different perceptual acuity, meaning they could perceive a greater degree of the electromagnetic spectrum, and my research has held all these years. So I feel that, I give the analogy, and this is, again, a very oversimplified analogy in my theory, and again, it keeps holding, that if all of humans have the capability of being to perceive, let's just say, like on a radio dial, let's say channels 1 through 10, most people are only perceiving 1 through 3, natural, sensitive, and psychics 1 through 5. And anything above that you train for, like going to Monroe Institute, meditating, learning techniques, you can actually train to perceive a greater degree on this continuum. And what I found out as I've studied this and myself studied at the Monroe Institute and studied my witnesses, they are truly perceiving a greater degree. And you say, what's this all about? I believe these ships, as you know for sure, after interviewing so many people, like the biblical paintings that exist that show a UFO in the background and a little shepherd looking up, these things have been around us since the inception of humanity. And I think many times they're just off our visual, auditory, physical spectrum. And many of my witnesses seem to have the ability just to either they come in the world this way to perceive a greater degree on that channel, 1 through channel 8, channel 9, whatever, or they have an event that actually rewrites their neuroanatomy. And if you take into consideration this piece of the puzzle, human perception. In the last two chapters of my book, I go into it pretty heavy duty, the dynamics of how we perceive, which most of us really don't understand. People think, oh, your eye's just taking a picture. That's not true at all. Our brains are continually creating what we see constantly. So my research on this has just continued to hold, and it really ties in the paranormal components. And again, this is an oversimplification, but on channel 4, the grays seem to show up. On channel 6, cryptids seem to show up. On channel 7, other entities show up. That's just a loose analogy, but that just keeps cropping up constantly in my witness base.
Are we getting more or less good reports than, let's say, we did in the 60s and 70s?
Oh, I think, back then in the 60s, 70s, maybe up into the 80s, we had a lot of the abduction reports. in my experience, in the witnesses that I'm talking to, that seems to have, tapered off. My cases are increasing, but they're just different. Now, I don't know if that's, because of communication. I don't think so. I have a sense that they're
actually... In the years gone past, Angelia, we had, like, tripod marks, burn marks, flies dead on the side of a tree, burned and etched in. We had stuff like that. I don't hear that anymore.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that either. Again, it seems like we've kind of shifted over into another. I know I get a lot of orb sightings, and this is not little lights in the sky. These are lights down in the tree canopy. I've been having a great time interviewing hunters. I love hunters. They're good old boys, had a gun since they were four. They don't mess around, and they don't, quote, believe in all this crap, they say. And when one of my hunters comes and is terrified and tells me that, he's seen something, I believe these guys. So, yeah, my reports have kind of changed over to a lot of the orb sightings. People are still having missing time reports, memory anomalies.
What are they saying about the aliens themselves? Alien grays, reptilians, Nordiques that look like we do?
Again, I get reports across the board. The grays seem to be still one of the higher components. I used to try to throw people off, not on purpose, but, there was years ago, they would say, oh, people just have big imaginations. And, they would say, oh, this being came into my room and stood by the bed. And I said, yeah, right, it's tall and has black hair. And they would go, no, it's short and has this big head. So across the board, at least in my research, the short, kind of gray type aliens with the big eyes are top ranking as far as reports go. I do get some reports of, just humanoid that look like us for sure.
Do you get abduction cases?
Absolutely. A lot of missing time. Matter of fact, this last week I had two people call me that had missing time with memory anomalies.
Like driving and they just didn't know where they were or stuff like that?
Yeah. A woman saw a light and she pulled off the side of the road and just to take a look at it. And the next thing she knows, her arm's out the door and she's pulling the door to. And she goes, I don't even remember that. And she gets home and she's got 2.5 hours of missing time. No memory whatsoever.
Almost like the Barney and Betty Hill cases.
Exactly.
Let's go to the phones. George in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Hello. I have a question.
Sure.
Ms. Shear?
Yes.
Yes. What is your take on like interdimensionals? I'm fascinated. George knows I call pretty often as much as I can about consciousness. And I mentioned you're trying to make a connection with consciousness. So I'm talking about interdimensional beings, like the ones you can't see. I guess you can tie them to religious figures like Christ, or they would be the closest thing, because, well, Christ would be like a demigod because he walked the earth, but he had divine powers. So what is your take? Like these orbs that fly around, you say, they are these energies of interdimensionals creating like these crop circle type things? Or, there's a lot of weird paranormal stuff. And since you do a lot of research on all that, I just want to know what your take is, and I'll listen. And
okay, you got it. Thanks, George.
Well, again, I'm very careful to make subjective conclusions. Again, I try to just report.
And they could be all of the above, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But human, you cannot, just as the gentleman mentioned, you cannot take out human perception. Every report is reported through a human. And as I stated earlier, there is a continuum as far as perceptual abilities. And when he spoke about interdimensional, I was having a discussion with a researcher the other night. We were talking about, well, what's the difference between dimensions and the channels you talked about? So, wow, that sent me off on a whole nother tangent. But, yeah, I believe that I think as humans we are – I don't know why people think we're not evolving. Our perceptual abilities have evolved. They've proven that. Artists have proven that. Scientists with the artwork, going from flat surfaces to three-dimensional. I believe that we are evolving in our perceptual ability. So that logically – goes to the next point that what we are perceptually aware of dimensionally is going to increase across the board. And as it seems like my findings, these beings have been all around us all along to some degree. We just haven't been aware of it per se. And I have more cases every day of people going, Ange, I wasn't aware of this, and now all this stuff is happening. And, you know, it even gets more complex in this, George. I talked about the channels, you know, you're aware of this channel. Well, as you grow and develop and you really work on it, let's say channels 1 through 10, eventually you're aware of all those channels at one time. You're not just changing. You integrate those and are aware of all of them at one time, and then you just jump to the next subset. So just, George, as you said, it's not either or. It's all of the above.
Yep.
Probably going on.
Wayne in Chicago, welcome to the show. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning to your guests, and good morning to the Coast to Coast family.
Thank you, sir.
George, I have a question before I even ask your guests my question. It's like between 7 and 8 billion people on the planet. On any given night, how many people do you think listen to your show, Coast to Coast?
Oh, it ranges up to 3 million.
Okay, well, that's about what? 7 point something billion people were missing out. Too bad. Anyway, my question is to your guests. Back when the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union, the astronauts were up in space, and some angels came to the window saying, "Hi, guys, how you doing? Here we are." I wondered, did she get her hands on the interview that the astronauts gave to their Russian superiors about that encounter with the angels? That's my only question.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Was that a true story? What do you think?
I'm so sorry. I had to plead ignorance on that one. I don't know anything about that. I do remember the tether incident, which people can look up, where they were doing the experiment and the tether actually broke loose, and they had all these frenzied particles that, you know, they witnessed out the window, and they had some other strange events. But I had to plead ignorance on that one. I don't know about that case.
John Glenn saw some strange things. Gordon Cooper, of course, saw UFOs, gave the film to his superiors, and he never got it back.
Never got classic.
Crazy, crazy. Tell people where they can get your book, UFO Encounters.
You can check out my website at angeliashear.com, and you can order my book on Amazon, and I have Kindle version. And also, if you want a signed copy, you can get that at my website.
Any new books coming out?
Well, everybody, George, wants me to. I'm a field investigator, and I really never planned on writing a book. And then I had so many of my friends and colleagues say, "Ange, you've got so much great information. You know, people would really like to know about it." So, as I said, my honey's a country music singer. He's out on tour. So last year he was gone at 6 months.
Would we know him?
I sat down. Oh, possibly. I'm probably going to write another book at some point. I want to really put in the perceptual component a little bit more detail for everybody.
What's his name?
His name's Dale Houston.
Houston. I think we've heard of that, haven't we? Definitely have heard of the city. We'll do that. Anyway, stay with us, Ange. We're going to come back and take some final calls in a moment. We'll be back with Angelia Shear and take final phone calls in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next program, John Hogue joins us to talk about the prophecies of Nostradamus. And then later on, Ken Hansen talks about archaeological discoveries in the Holy Land. So that'll be our next Coast to Coast program. Make sure you're part of it. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Angelia with us here. Angelia, do you find that UFO cases are more prevalent? The people are coming forward more than they did years ago?
Absolutely, George, absolutely. There's a huge difference in what's been going just even in the last 5 years. Like I said earlier, people's, attitude toward the subject, their knowledge of how immense the universe is, you know, even if people, you know, haven't studied it or haven't had an experience, they at least will give the possibility that life exists elsewhere besides us.
Well, that's fantastic work, though, isn't it? And since you got involved in this well over 35 years ago, have you seen it change much?
Oh, I've seen it change a huge amount. Again, just with the attitude of the the general public. I think we're just, you know, George, don't you? I think it's so exciting. I heard you say that, you know, I feel closer to disclosure than I've ever felt before. I just hope I live long enough to see it happen. You know, of course, all of us boots on the ground people, we, you know, I'm past belief after seeing what I've seen.
Yeah, you already know.
We know, it's just bringing everybody else along for the ride, as they say.
I just want to know if they seated us, if they believe in God, if they're looking for God, and things like that.
Boy, those are the million-dollar questions, aren't they?
They sure are.
I think, again, just if you compare it and you just extrapolate, you know, from just humanity, and, you know, I know that's a little egocentric, but there's probably everything, you know, going on in the universe, interdimensionals, extra-dimensionals, spiritual beings, you know, hierarchies of beings below us, above us, around us. I think we're in for one wild ride as a species.
Let's go to the phones. Joe in Monterey, California, to get us going here. Go ahead, Joseph.
Thank you, George. Two good shows, George.
They're all good, Joseph.
Yes, I know. Angelina, you're excellent. I've been involved with you might say, the UFO community. Not MUFON, but I've had some contact with people from MUFON on occasion. I'm considered a contactee or an experiencer now. They've changed that. And until 4 weeks ago, I saw my first UFO. That's right, George, my first UFO with my eyes in daylight.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I finally could see them. I usually feel them if they're over me. But this is the first time that I actually saw them in broad daylight. This is not an astral thing. They were physical. One of the things that I ran into for 16 years, I used to work at an expo, you know, one of these New Age expos. But there's healers and all different types and all different speakers on all subjects. And I worked with two vendors. So I used to be there before it opened and after it closed. I meet a lot of people in between hours, too. And some of the people I meet were not entirely physically human. What I've learned over the years, many years, 26 years or so, is that they don't need ships to travel sometimes. They could travel spiritually, and they can they could become walk-ins if the people make a contract with that, or they can share a body. And these are people from other worlds, other planets, and other dimensions. Another thing is that we could be passing them by on the street and not know that they're an extraterrestrial. Especially with COVID, everyone's wearing masks, and you can't get within 6 feet of them, so you really can't feel their energy unless you're really close. Do you come across people who have made encounters with a physical person that is more or less an extraterrestrial?
You ever have anything like that happen, Ange?
In my book, I talk about an experience, and I'll tease everybody and hope you read my book because I think you'll enjoy it. But I had an experience where I met an individual. It was over a lunch that telepathically, I'm convinced, George, I think you can tell my personality. I'm very skeptical. I read my thoughts the whole lunch. I mean, my heart rate was up to like 100, and I'm not kidding you. There's a long story in there about in the past a negotiation and treaties that were made with the U.S. government and for trade and different things, and that these entities, just as this gentleman said, could walk down the street and nobody would ever know. The only difference is that they were just highly telepathic. And so me personally, I had lunch with this gentleman. I still know him. Very, very different, very incredibly smart, stays isolated, which, you know, the possibility of being telepathic, I can imagine why. And then the gentleman also brought up different forms of these orbs that we talked about. A lot of times they do seem sentient. They don't seem like arbitrary phenomena or like plasma discharges. They actually seem sentient. In my book, I talk about a case with a hunter that was out training his dogs, hunting dogs, and these orbs showed up in a tree canopy and actually followed them back to the truck. So, again, look at the diversity of life on this planet, just this one, from the depths of the ocean to the forest, to, and now, you know, extrapolate that on a possibly unlimited universe. You know, the possibilities of different life forms, you know, some, as the gentleman mentioned there, probably wouldn't need a physical ship. You know, when you talk about entities that are 100,000 years advanced from us, physically and spiritually, psychologically, they may not need a ship, just like I'm talking about humans' perceptual abilities increasing. So I think there's all kinds of possibilities with different entities.
Let's go to Juanita in Fort Bragg, California. Hello, Juanita.
Hi, George, and hi, Angela.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm really nervous, both of you, and especially George. Please let me rattle on. Both my youngest grandson, he's 2 years old. His name's Caleb. His appendix burst, and he almost died.
Oh, my gosh.
And then recently, now I found out that my granddaughter, Brooke, might have to have part of her brain removed to stop the seizures. From the flu vaccination, and I thought it was a DPT and found out it was the flu. But here are the two incidences that I wanted to let you guys know about. So
okay.
Let me rattle, please, to get this so that I'll keep my mind off of my grandkids, because I cried so much today. But anyway, what happened was I wrote a story about you, George. You're in it. It's a 47-page, and it's just for my sons. But the reason I got the idea for it was because in my grandfather's house years ago, when Art Bell was the host, he was, you know, the speaker. When he was on there, I turned the radio on, and my grandfather's house already had problems, and I know it was bad angels. Because I'm a Christian, I believe there are good and bad everything's out there.
Sure, absolutely.
I've seen so many UFOs. My son, both of my sons have, my whole family and some of my friends, when they were abundantly around in the 70s especially, wow. So anyway, what I did was I went to bed, and I can't remember exactly what time it was because it was during the Art Bell days, but I'm going to guess and say around a quarter to 11 at night. And I turned the radio on, and I was flicking the channels around and around, and I thought, what in the world's going on with Art Bell? I usually keep it on that same station. And I, for 10 minutes, I checked, and it was not on there. I thought, what is going on? And I don't know why I did it, but I got up, walked through my grandfather's creepy house. I was the only one left that would stay in there, and looked at the clock, and it said 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I kid you not. I thought, what in the world happened to all that time? And I got to go to work in the morning. I couldn't understand it. I'll never be able to understand.
He was already off the air by that time.
So what I did was, George, I wrote I don't know how to write stories, but I altogether wrote 84 short stories for my two sons to remember me by, and one of them is called Mechanical Mind Games. And now I'm talking to you about the story where I got the idea of time loss, and you're in it, and you go, I call you up, and I say, thank you so much, George, for letting me be a guest on your show, and you go, Juanita, thank you for calling, but I'm sorry to tell you, but you've never been a guest on my show. And see, it's a time thing, a time reversal thing.
Right.
That's how the whole story goes. And I thought, someday I wish I could just send George a flash drive of how I got the idea to write a story about the time loss. And I'll never understand it. So when I went to work the next morning, I was so tired. And my manager looked at me, and he said, what's the matter with you? And I just joked around with him, and I said, I was abducted? With a question mark, you know? And I was not abducted. I know I wasn't. But I just don't understand what happened to the time. You know, and I know that there's good and bad angels out there because of what happened in my grandfather's house. And when I read the Bible, not all the way through, I read part of it. When I'd say the name Jesus, the faucets would still turn on by themselves when I was taking a bath.
That's amazing.
But that's just part of what happened. That no wonder everyone left the house except me. And so I got out the Bible and I started reading night after night after work, and it finally cleared up, and it felt so clean and clear in there.
Well, let's find out a little bit from our guest. Ange, what do you think was happening to her with this missing time?
Well, there's so many components to that. Again, working with people with hypnosis and talking about these perceptual things, what we're talking about there are state changes. And what I have found, I just want to make a quick analogy. Let's say, again, let's go back to our analogy of channels 1 through 10. I want to bring a component of what I call disassociation. When you dissociate, when people are traumatized, they actually dissociate away from their body, sometimes radically far away from their body. And those are real things. Those are real things that are happening in time and space. So I found that the further you dissociate away from the physical body and then return to the physical body, the greater degree of losing your memory. Now, a lot of times it can be, you know, recaptured or remembered. I like that word, remembered, actually bringing something back together. And with different tools, sometimes you can do that. But I like everybody out there in the audience to remember, you know, to think about, let's say you've ever been in the car driving somewhere and you get to your location and you don't remember driving there.
Yeah, it's like hypnosis in the car, isn't it?
Exactly. So sometimes you go through these state changes and, you know, you lose memory. Sometimes that's just from a deep sleep.
I mean, if a car cuts in front of you, your reactions kick in.
Exactly. So your caller, she felt like she wasn't abducted. I tell people to trust their feelings on that. But other altered states can happen. As we talked about the Monroe Institute, people go out of body all the time. They just don't remember it. And, you know, sometimes when you have those out-of-body experiences, you come back into the body. Your body's been sound asleep, and you don't remember it. I know one thing we train to do at the Monroe Institute, Robert Monroe would call it mind awake, body asleep. And people go, oh, you can't do that. Oh, my goodness. I had a little group that I was teaching, and we did an exercise with the hemisync exercises. I had a gentleman there, two advanced degrees. He didn't believe any of this stuff, and he said, Ange, I have to eat crow. And I said, why? And he said, well, I was laying there. I got in this altered state like you said I would. My body was really relaxed, and I was really digging it, and then I heard somebody snoring. And he goes, I got really aggravated because I was relaxing, and I realized it was me snoring. So, you know, it's hard to say without studying this woman's experience. You know, I'm very thorough when I study my witnesses. Sometimes I spend years, you know, we have patterns. You look at patterns, how they develop. I always encourage my witnesses to keep a journal. A journal is extraordinarily important. The act of writing it down immediately to capture details, that actually throws light on the experiences sometimes.
Do you think, Ange, that we are in any danger from ETs from afar?
Oh, I think we should be aware of everything. George, just like we talked about, there's good humans and bad humans. Now, again, extrapolate that on a universe out there. You know, I tell people in nature, they go, Ange, you know, is what you do dangerous? George, what we do is dangerous. My team has, you know, been out in some really dangerous situations.
I bet. Yeah, you got to be careful.
I'm a strange woman. Instead of shopping for shoes and lipstick, I'm supposed to go out with a paramilitary group here in the next few weeks. I'm shopping for snake chaps because where we're going, people have been bitten by
snakes. They've been bitten. You got to be careful.
So, yeah, I think there's all, you know, I think people should, most people have very good instincts. I tell people to trust their instincts. If you go into a room and, you know, you can go in a room and tell if somebody's mad. Well, if you're in a situation and you feel like it's dangerous, get the heck out of there. You know, take steps to stop it.
Absolutely. Ange, thanks for being on the program. UFO Encounters, that's your book. And give out your website, if you would.
It's angeliashear.com.
Very good. And we've got the link for you at coasttocoastam.com. Great guest. And tomorrow on our next program, John Hoag joins us to talk about the prophecies of Nostradamus. And then Ken Hansen talking about ancient archaeological discoveries around the Holy Land. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.